Pirates and sideshow performers, spinsters and office workers headline a new book by Winnipeg performance artists Shauna Dempsey and Laurie Millen. Bedtime Stories for the End of the World, released by Arbiter Ring Publishing earlier this year, includes 8 short stories from the 18th century to today. Co-author Shauna Dempsey joins me now in the studio to talk about the book. Welcome, Shauna.
Thank you.
Reading the book, I found the stories and the characters were great. They were really imaginative and very fairy tale like. But it was contrasted with issues that you're dealing with that are very serious and also very contemporary and real issues like rape, sexual violence, homophobia, gender identity. What inspired you to write a book that sort of combined these elements?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Like, that's a big question. Like, where does the creative impulse come from? Laurie and I are primarily performance artists. We also make videos, but we've always also written. And sometimes these texts for the page have, we've tried to make them work in a performance setting. They haven't really worked. So they've kind of been orphans. And maybe they've been side aspects of different projects. And over the years, we came to realize that there was common themes. They were all mythological women pushing their own frontiers, or pushing the frontiers of society within another frontier, or a colonial frontier. So we started sort of plopping them next to each other and seeing how they fit and writing more stories along the same line. Also in our work, we've always used either very familiar archetypes or familiar characters, familiar symbols, because it creates a sense of comfort with the audience or immediate identification with the audience. So we've done that with these stories. Some of the stories are mythological figures you'd be familiar with or historical figures you'd be familiar with. And then we use these women to voice our own content, exactly, as metaphors to carry our concerns.
I wanted to ask you about the first story in the book, which is called Confession of the Pirate Mary Read, mm-hmm. which is about two women who were real people, who were pirates in the Caribbean in the early 1700s. Can you talk a bit about what would have been the motivations, but also the risks for women to become pirates at this time?
It's in some ways the women of that time had so few options. Women were literally owned by men. And to be a woman alone would be to be completely without means. It would be very difficult to survive. Working was denied many, many women. So I suppose the risks women took in becoming pirates or disguising themselves as seamen and joining the British Navy, which a remarkable number seem to have, according to historical records, reflect the risks of being a woman on dry land. It was preferable to take to the seven seas. It was a really rough time for women. What I think is interesting about pirate culture is that all sorts of misfits banded together. The two women in the story were accused of freeing slaves from slaving ships, and there were people of different ethnicities as part of pirate bands. There were known homosexuals who were pirates, and like Calico Jack, who originated the Skull and Crossbones. Some accounts suggest that he was really in it for the fabric. He really liked fine fabrics, and he was a hairstylist. obviously a known homosexual by history. So all of these people who didn't fit elsewhere were able to form a society that had very ethical codes and equitable distribution of wealth based on removing wealth from others.
And it's interesting because when you think of pirate stories that we hear, you don't usually think of any women in them or anyone who's not sort of a macho man, except mm-hmm. maybe as a victim of mm-hmm. the pirates or someone they have to rescue.
Yes. That sort of thing. Yeah. Or even the idea of the wench in the maybe serving beer at port. But these women captained their own ships.
Yeah, that's amazing. I wanted to talk about one of the other stories, Miss Gray's Marvelous Truth Machine. One thing that happens in that story is something that could be mass hysteria with a group of girls who succumb to symptoms like tics and twitches and then also turn on their teacher. And in the story you reference the Salem witch trials and also a case I hadn't heard of until I read the book, the cheerleader hysteria in New York. What interests you about this condition or phenomena?
Well, you know, throughout history, there have been cases that have been labeled hysteria, the Salem witch hunts being the most famous of them, where young girls, it's usually young girls, all share delusions and physical symptoms. And to me, that's an interesting medical phenomena, and it is studied medically. It's not really understood. I wonder whether it's sublimated anger or some sort of acting out by young women on the verge of adulthood, their distress at what they see before them. So that was our interest in hysteria. That piece actually we recorded and pressed to vinyl, and it's in the gallery at the Winnipeg Art Gallery. It's part of the Winnipeg Now exhibition. So you can either read that story in the book or you can go to the WAG and listen to it. It's sort of like a radio play.
Oh, great. One of the other stories I want to ask about, it's actually two stories. It was the last two stories, the Last Laugh of Medusa and A Falling Woman. When I read it, I saw it as characters dealing with class and gender issues in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Things like, you know, what to wear, including how to accessorize, how to act, what to say, and that sort of thing. What do you see as some of the fictions that exist around how to behave to succeed in a workplace?
Well, definitely the Medusa story kind of depicts a Margaret Thatcher-esque woman who's trying to make it in a man's world, and she even talks about that, about how to survive in the boardroom. And I think that is one of the fictions, that women, to be successful, have to conform to the pre-existing model, which is historically male. So, you know, we hear a lot of statistics about how women are not occupying the top CEO positions, or women are not the lead research scientists, but we don't look at the structures of those occupations and whether they suit the reality of women's lives. Many women take time out to have children. Many women look after aging parents. Many women's priorities, whether culturally determined or personally determined, don't fit within those models. So I would love to see a situation where the leader of a nation could job share. You know, if a couple of women could do that job together, and then they could each have their home lives, or if different, more imaginative structures could be put in place where we could actually access equality and fulfill our own needs and responsibilities.
So you do have a live reading of the book coming up this Friday at the Winnipeg Art Gallery, and it's part of the Winnipeg Now exhibition. What can people expect at this event?
Well, our section of the gallery is a cozy little nook. It's actually Miss Gray's parlor, Miss Gray being the inventrix in the story you mentioned earlier. And that's where the phonograph is, where you can listen to that story on vinyl. But on Friday night, we'll be bringing in other little chairs, and people can join me in that cozy space. And at 8:30, I'll read you a story and send you home to bed.
Well, that sounds great. And that's this Friday. So thanks so much, Shauna, for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Winnipeg Performance artist Shauna Dempsey, and she is the co-author with Laurie Millen of the book Bedtime Stories for the End of the World. And there is a reading, as we mentioned, at the Winnipeg Art Gallery this Friday, December 7th at 8:30 p.m. And that is $10 to get in, a regular price, and it's $8 for seniors and students. And you're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.